Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. Thanks for coming back another week. Hope you guys had a great weekend where you got to relax, relate, release. That's a different world reference if you didn't know. And hope that your Monday started off pretty good. I can say here in Atlanta, where we've been under heavy rain clouds, that it was great to have a Monday where there wasn't any rain. And it was fairly decent outside in terms of weather. Obviously, daylight savings time took effect Sunday during the midnight hour. Sunday was a little sluggish for many because they lost that hour because we sprung forward. But Monday was pretty good. Unfortunately, Tuesday, we are back under heavy precipitation and thunderstorms and the coronavirus. So it's rough. I just want to say, take care of yourselves, protect yourselves out there. As always, wash your hands, have your hand sanitizer on deck. I think we are so used to, doing things with our hands unconsciously. You know, we open doors all day. We're in and out of bathrooms. We're in communal spaces at work, in the gym. And we still find ourselves putting our hands in our face, in our mouths, in our eyes, coming in from being outside and immediately doing things in our kitchens and different things like that. Just want to be extra cautious about those things. And just like I said, just take care of yourself. If you feel a little tickle going on, being mindful of that. It doesn't mean that it's corona, but, you know, it's still very much so cold and flu season as well. Obviously, I was a sufferer earlier this year, having taken the flu shot, so it wasn't nearly as bad for me as it has been for others. But, you know, we just have to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. There was a case here in Atlanta, which kind of closed down the Fulton County Public Schools. And so, you know, those things don't take long to spread, especially if people are not being cautious about what's going on. So, take care of yourselves, wash your hands, yada, yada, yada. You get the point. Before I jump into today's episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about my other venture, my other baby, what's become my other baby, a podcast that I'm a co-host on called The Sweet Soul Spot. The Sweet Soul Spot. It is spelled exactly how it sounds. No interesting monikers or anything like that. The Sweet Soul Spot. It is available on Anchor as well as, you know, those other platforms that we like to listen in on, the Apple Podcast, the Google Podcast, as well as Spotify. There's a few other places, I think, like Pocket Cast and Breaker, which I'm not familiar with, but the main platforms, the podcast is now available. We got up episode one, had some technical difficulties with episode number two because one of our co-hosts is remote. And so the first episode, everyone was here and local and it was fine. The second episode, like I said, a co-host is remote. So we just had some sound issues. Things just weren't clear. And obviously we want to put out the best product possible because we really want to have this conversation about R&B and soul music and our thoughts about it. And if it's a podcast where you're supposed to be listening to something and people sound like bears, it's not very helpful. And so we re-recorded, which of course delayed us, but I think it's a really good episode. We have this thing called Music Appreciation Club where we talk about an album and its impact. And so I brought to the table Michael Kilgore's A Man Born Black, which is a phenomenal album. Obviously, you guys have heard me talk about Michael Kilgore before. And if not, you should go back and listen because I'm sure that I have. He is a co-host as well. So shout out to Michael, who I know is on tour. If you haven't gotten an opportunity to hear the album, it's available on all digital platforms. But he is also on tour currently. He is in the West. So he is in San Francisco on March 30th. He's in LA on March 31st. And he'll be back on the East Coast in North Carolina on April 15th. If you haven't seen him, go support him. His music is amazing. He is a Floridian, a graduate of Florida State University. He is a mentee of the phenomenally talented Billy Porter. And he is a NAACP Image Award nominee. So I could go on and on about him and his talent and his and his humility and his grace because I got an opportunity to meet him, but I won't. That's not what this episode is about. I just wanted to pub him because we're talking about his album on the podcast because we thought it was a great album. And I think what's wonderful about that opportunity, the opportunity that I had to present that album for our first Music Appreciation Club, is that it's an album that more than likely would not have caught the radar or not have been on the radar of my co-host, Charles and Iman. And so for them to have an appreciation for the album very similar to my appreciation for the album, as real music heads, like I'm like a baby music head. These are guys who are really heavy into music, who have, you know, 20 years over me in terms of listening to music, was a wonderful experience. And so please go listen to that podcast. Please support Michael. And I'm going to jump in today's episode. I want to talk about cancel culture. You know, every week, excuse me, I am scrambling for things to talk about, conversations to have, things that I think are important, things that I think would resonate with people, but also things that I have some energy behind, because we're people and we're constantly evolving and constantly changing. And as a result of that, our thoughts about things change, our opinions about things change. And that's why I think cancel culture is so problematic, because people are entitled to their opinions and the way that they believe. They're entitled to voice them, obviously. We all have that ability. And we have the ability, the right, for those things to change. And sometimes because we've made a poor choice, luckily for many of us, our lives are not on public display for consumption and scrutiny. A lot of what we think doesn't get put into the atmosphere. So we never have to worry about being judged about it. And that's truly, truly a blessing. Because, well, everybody doesn't have that luck. So I'm going to read something to you that I Googled, because I think that that's important. And when you Google cancel culture, the first thing that kind of comes up is call out culture. So call out culture, also referred to as outrage culture, is a form of public humiliation or shaming that aims to hold individuals and groups accountable for actions perceived to be offensive by other individuals or groups, who then call attention to this behavior, usually on social media. A variant of the term cancel culture describes a form of boycott in which someone, usually a celebrity, who has shared a questionable or controversial opinion or has had behavior in their past that is perceived to be either offensive, called out on social media, is canceled. They are completely boycotted by many of their former followers or supporters, often leading to massive declines in celebrities, almost always social media personalities, careers, and fan base. So when we're talking about cancel culture or call out culture, one of the things that really spoke to me or really jumped at me is that it's also referred to as outrage culture. And outrage is emotion. You're angry. In the moment, something has been said, something has been done that creates an immediate emotional response. And as a result of that, you act. And I think that most of us have learned as we've grown and we've matured that things that are done based upon emotion are almost always an issue because they're not done with a rational mind. They're not done in a space where you are weighing the pros and cons and looking at it from every angle to determine what makes the most sense. And I think a really good example of outrage or things that are done emotionally are crimes of passion. You know, people are in a fit of rage and they make choices and they make decisions that in that moment that they normally would not make with a rational mind. And because they're not rational, they're not thinking about all of the repercussions and the consequences of that particular action. They don't think about themselves, the other person, or how it affects other people. And obviously, because cancel culture is generational, because it is directly tied or connected to social media, which obviously is my generation, generations after me, maybe one generation above me, but certainly our parents, our grandparents did not participate in cancel culture, you know? I don't believe that either extreme is healthy. You know, our community, persons of color, have this thing about housekeeping, how we keep a lot of things in house. We don't discuss our problems, our issues on the outside, you know, especially if it could damage the persona of someone who is trying to push us forward, or it could tarnish the family name. And so that's silence. And I think that there are issues with silence, because so many things within our family units went unchecked, went undocumented, went unhealed because we were silent. You know, we knew about relatives who were engaged in criminal activity. We knew about relatives who were sexual deviants and exploited and took advantage of the young boys and young girls in our families. We knew about those things and we didn't talk about them. And I don't think that that's right. And I think that that's a problem. But on the other end of the spectrum, as you swing the pendulum forward, I don't believe this brash jump to call out, cancel, humiliate, demean a person is healthy either. And the other thing is, there are no real terms of engagement. There are no real rules. So, you know, we decide, and I have great examples of this. The first one I can remember from early childhood is O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was beloved in the African-American community because he made it. You know, he was an athlete. He was a Hall of Famer. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. Although people, black folks probably weren't that, you know, keen on him marrying a white woman. You know, he was a good looking man. He was an athlete. He represented all of these things for the black community. And to think that he was responsible of murder was something that black folks couldn't wrap their heads around. Some other black folks could. But the biggest thing about that whole trial was getting him acquitted. Even though there are some black people who believed at that moment in that time that he was either personally responsible or definitely an accomplice to the person who was responsible, or he hired the person who was responsible for the murder of his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron. However, him being acquitted was like, he free. We won. And it's interesting how we look at the justice system, because we know that it's not really fair, and it's definitely not geared towards making sure that we're treated fairly. But we accept acquittals, but we challenge situations where we know a person is guilty and they're convicted. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like, oh, we only believe in the system when it favors us, even if we know that the person who is the target or the subject of this particular case is wrong. And so he's a good example of that. Moving on from that is R. Kelly. So, you know, I remember I was young. It had to be middle school or the very beginning of high school when that first tape was released. And the debate between the adults that I was aware of that had watched the tape or had seen the tape or were discussing the tape was, people got it because everybody wanted to see for themselves. Well, two things. People wanted to see R. Kelly in action, let's be clear. But two, people wanted to determine for themselves, okay, is this a child? And if I can determine this is a child via a video, how does he not know? You know, so people were viewing it and talking about it, having a discussion. I remember going to a family friend's house who had just watched the tape, and I remember them saying to my mother, child, this is a mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a real mess. But he went through the court system and he was acquitted. And that was enough for many, many people. Even people who might have been on the fence about his behavior, him being acquitted was enough. Michael Jackson is another example. You know, to this day, there are some people who still believe that he molested children, boys, where there are other people who believe that he did not. And even after, you know, being absolved of that in a way, in his death, people have found ways to talk about that story, you know, talk about what happened at that ranch. And we know for a fact that some of the young men that were involved have not always been completely honest about their dealings, and their lives are representative of that. Now, some may say, well, their lives were destroyed because of this early childhood sexual trauma. But some of the choices that were made by these people were just about their livelihoods and poor choices that they made. They had opportunities that were presented to them, not based on who they knew, but in some instances because of their talent, and they blew it. And so is Michael Jackson also responsible for that? And so this whole concept of who actually gets canceled as opposed to who actually gets to stay is not consistent. It's not consistent at all. You know, there are individuals, and it's not just individuals in our particular generation, but even older individuals that are like, well, I'm not going to stop listening to R. Kelly's music because of these things. Even being aware that this man did a lot of things in plain sight. And seems to be unapologetic for it. Bill Cosby is another example. And the point I'm trying to make is that when we go into these rash decisions to cancel someone, we don't think about the long-term ramifications. Listen, I enjoy The Cosby Show, and I enjoy Different World. I'm not going to not watch The Cosby Show or A Different World because of poor choices that Bill Cosby made. And let me tell you why. Because that doesn't just hurt him. Bill Cosby has made his money. And he's in a very different financial situation than many of his co-stars. When we stop supporting those particular shows, we affect the livelihoods of other individuals who were involved in those shows, but not involved in his personal choices. And they shouldn't suffer or be held responsible for something that they were not party to. I believe wholeheartedly that many of those women and those men who were his co-stars had no idea about what was going on because he had enough sense to not shit where he ate. And he kept those things separately. And obviously, there's not much that he could have done for a Felicia Rashad or a Debbie Allen in terms of progressing their careers forward, because they were pretty talented and capable individuals all in their own right, all on their own, long before they met him. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, I think that Felicia Rashad got some backlash and obviously, but not much. You know, people still love her. But she did definitely get some backlash when she defended him. Certainly Keisha Knight Pulliam, because she decided to attend trial with him, because their experiences with Bill Cosby are nothing like the experiences that those women spoke about. And you can't judge someone based on an experience that you haven't had. Everything that they talk about, everything that they remember about that experience working on The Cosby Show and then later The Cosbys, is very different from the experiences that these women talked about where they were taken advantage of and drugged and different things like that. You know, Whoopi Goldberg obviously received some backlash when she talked about it, because she basically said Quaaludes was a way of life. At that time, people took Quaaludes recreationally. You know what I'm saying? And people make choices. I'm not trying to excuse the behavior. We obviously know that there was some problematic behavior on his behalf, that he was involved and that he was engaged in things that were an issue. And it didn't just hurt our community, but it hurt the body of women. And that's a, and that's an issue. But, you know, canceling him is one thing. Affecting other people's livelihood is a totally different thing. And that's just something that I'm not for. And I don't think cancel culture takes any of that into consideration. Not to mention, cancel culture in a lot of ways is based upon disagreeing with a person's opinion and a stance. And as a result, saying, I disagree with them. And as a result of disagreeing with them, because I deemed that they're problematic, or a community of us deemed that they're problematic, we are going to systematically destroy this person. Because that's the answer. Because we as Black people oftentimes don't take this stance. But it only seems to affect our community on a whole scale. And I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not guilty of it. When Chrisette Michele decided that she was going to sing for the inauguration after all of the other Black people backed out, she made a choice. And because of that choice, I was upset. But I think everybody was upset. We were frustrated. We couldn't believe. We were in awe that the country would elect a man like Donald Trump to the highest office in the United States of America. And so I believe that the outrage behind that, anybody who seemed to be in opposition of that, created an issue for us as a community. And so, yes, I was like, oh, I'm done with her. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with her. But, you know, I was just having a conversation about her music last night and how impactful that first album was. That was a great album. I've gotten to the point now where, you know, if she comes on the radio, I won't cut her off, because I really needed to reevaluate and reassess my thoughts about that. Yes, I believe it's two-sided. Yes, I believe she needs the money. Hey, get your check, sis. I get that. But the other side to that is there might have been a small part of her that believed that her presence meant something. As frustrating as that sounds, as a cop out that as that sounds to some people, because it would be easy to just say, hey, I needed that check, and that's why I did it, and I, in addition to needing that check, I thought that I could also do these things and do these things and do these things. I think that people would have been able to swallow that a little easier. I still think that our community is one that suffers greatly when we observe this whole concept of cancel culture. I'll give you another example. The whole Nate Parker situation. Very rarely is a Black man in a position to do something with a film the way that he did. And all of those things being released at the height of that film about Nat Turner overshadowed what he had done as an artist, as an actor, as a producer. But it also overshadowed the phenomenal work of the other individuals in that film. Some of the best work that I've seen from Gabriel Union, some of the best work I've seen from Asia. Asia has three names, but she's on, and Lord knows I can't think of them all right now. Asia, Naomi, crap. I hate when this happens, but she is on How to Get Away with Murder, and she plays one of the lead characters. Why can't I think of her name right now? This is killing me. Also phenomenal work from her, and what the film itself represented didn't do well because of that. Now let's be clear, Nate Parker had made his money, but these other actors, these other actresses were not allowed to, you know, get the get the accolades that they deserved because most people didn't see the film because of choices that he had made prior. Bad choices, but choices nonetheless. And so that's the thing. I don't think that we fully observe the damage that cancel culture does. And we certainly don't hold other people to the same standard because people haven't stopped wearing Gucci and other designer labels who have, you know, people haven't stopped shopping at H&M, other labels, other fashion houses who have very plainly said that we don't really fuck with people of color. If y'all wear our shit, that's cool, but it really ain't for you. We don't design with you in mind. Yet we're the individuals who ensure that Louis Vuitton and Gucci and Prada and H&M stay employed. You know, Birkin stay employed. You know, I was just watching The Breakfast Club. Nene was on The Breakfast Club, and she was basically saying that when her and Marlo were out, her, Marlo and Wendy Williams were out shopping, Wendy bought a Birkin bag, and, you know, Marlo brought attention to the fact that they were followed by security the entire time, different things like that. We know for a fact that Oprah Winfrey was racially profiled when she was in Italy trying to buy a purse. They wouldn't even show her the purse. Not realizing that if she wanted to, she probably could have purchased the entire fucking store. But have we put the same energy behind canceling these individuals? Things that we don't necessarily need. Extremely pricey things that don't really serve us or serve our community. So it's another one of those things where I understand that we need to bring attention to individuals that have engaged in problematic behavior, but where is the rehabilitation? Where is the conversation? Where is the opportunity for that person to absolve themselves or apologize for what they've said or what they've done? Or is it okay? When do we get to the point where we can agree to disagree? You know, the whole Gayle King, Snoop Dogg situation. You know, we're canceling Gayle King because she asked a question. And whether or not we believe that it was journalistic integrity, because people have challenged that, both people who are journalists and people who aren't. Yes, maybe we can agree that we thought that the question was displaced, but does that give us the right to say that she's canceled? And furthermore, does it give Snoop the right to call her out of her name and offer these threats, which materialized to actual threats, to where a woman has to get extra security, and where everything that she's done in for our community, everything that she has done as a Black woman, as a journalist, is negated because she asked a question that we didn't agree with, because a person like Kobe engaged in an activity that we knew that was wrong. A situation that we knew that was wrong, something that we never actually got to flush out because the woman didn't testify. But whether or not she said it was true or admitted that it later was a lie, our love for Kobe overshadowed that situation. And in his passing, because we're not ever supposed to talk ill about the dead, we're never supposed to hold the dead accountable for anything that they've done. We're supposed to allow the family an opportunity to grieve, and I get all of that. But we know that these things are going to come up. Snoop then makes these brash statements, but he's not canceled because we agree with his hate and vitriol, but we disagree with just a question of what you think about this and what is your thought process about that. We got to do better, y'all. We got to do better. And cancel culture does not leave room for us to do better. And it also doesn't solve any of the issues that we have. You know, if Black folks really canceled everybody and everything that did not serve and or support us, or whose ideology was problematic for us, baby, we'd be in a world of hurt, because the world isn't designed for us to prosper. It's not set up for us to get ahead. It's not even really set up for us to stay afloat. And all of the decisions and choices that we make to navigate this world, the educations that we pay for and the debt that we get in as a result of that, the way that we dress, the way that we choose to do our hair, the clothes that we wear, I did say the way that we dress, the cars that we drive. There are certain things that we are expected to do to put off a certain image about who we are and what we stand for so that we are acknowledged and we can advance in this world. And everybody who is successful understands that to a certain degree. And there are people who don't want to live their lives in that way and so have chosen to be entrepreneurs and only go into business for themselves and work with themselves and only support and highlight things of color. You know, there are people who are allowed that opportunity to kind of isolate themselves from the mainstream, but in some way or form or shape or fashion, we still have to coexist in this world. You know, those choices that we made are hard choices, but it's how we progress. And if we got to a place where we began to cancel out and disregard and not deal with any and everything that did not support us, it would be much more than Black folks, musicians and celebrities that we have to cancel. And I don't think we're ready to make those hard and fast decisions because it would require too much sacrifice on our part. And I think that that's the part of cancel culture that I don't think we ever really deal with. Yes, let's not be silent. Let's call attention to things that are issues, but let's not excommunicate somebody from the community. Let's try to figure out how we can solve that problem so that we don't find ourselves in this cyclical loop of always having to cancel somebody or always have to have the same conversation. So that's my thoughts on cancel culture. Thanks for tuning in. I love you guys. Continue to listen and like and support and share, but also continue to shoot me ideas. I'm always looking for ideas, things to talk about. I'm trying to do a better job of kind of planning podcasts in the future. So some of them might not always be in my vehicle, but I'll still be popping off. That's for sure. We are embarking on our 2-year anniversary. It's coming up in April. So 2-year anniversary, it's like TV. It's our 2-year anniversary, but it's like our third season. So I'm excited about that and excited about, you know, bringing some more content. And now that I know that recording with other people is not as daunting as I thought it would be. And I've worked through my Virgo anxiety, which is always high about things. And I know that it's not nearly as complex as I was making it out to be. The hope is that in season 3, we will have some of you guys, some of my co-hosts, come in and talk about things that are important to you, that you have a little bit more information about than myself, because, you know, the whole purpose of this platform is not just to kind of promote my ideas and my way of thinking about things, but also to have other individuals come and promote their ideas and their products and their businesses, because that's important. Like, that's how we push the envelope forward, because we help one another. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Happy Tuesday to you guys, despite the rain in Atlanta anyway. Still try to make it a great day. And definitely protect yourselves out here through all of this virus stuff. But don't let it stop you from getting to the polls and voting. Put on your mask, put on your gloves, put on your hazmat suits or whatever you need. But get out to the polls and definitely vote because it's important. And we'll talk more about that as the time comes. Anyway, I love y'all for real. Peace.